Blog Talk Radio.
Coming out of the Old Testament, we will be in Joshua, Psalms, and Proverbs. And on Sunday, we will be back in the book of Luke. So grateful that God has given us this mighty, mighty word from Joshua. And it has been a great, great word. So let's get started this morning. We got a lot of word to cover. And I don't want to miss anything. It's like when you read the book of Joshua, it's like reading this absolutely awesome novel that gets you up, it takes you down, it gets you through, it gets you up all over, and it even has a little sci-fi with the earth standing still. And then you have this mighty man of God that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you're like, yes, yes, I'm with you. Your hands are going up. You're ready to volunteer to fight in God's army with Joshua because he's such a great leader. That is just, and then you have the voice of God that tells you to be strong and courageous, to not be fearful, to know that God is with you wherever you go. So you just get all hyped up. This book just hypes me up. I love the book of Joshua. It's just something about this mighty man of God and whose leadership, you know, he's made a few mistakes. He makes, because we're all human and we do make mistakes, always make sure that he gets on his knees and prays. He always speaks with God, except for once, and that's when he made a mistake. But other than that, he didn't do it again. And under his rule, Israel did everything they were supposed to do. So we're going to go over, after we pray, I have a cute little book that God put in my heart to order, and it kind of does a quick overview of every word that we're going to be going through. And we're going to talk about Joshua this morning, and then on Sunday we'll talk about Luke and who wrote the book, when it was written, and those types of things. So let's pray. Father God, I am so excited today to be in your word. And I just thank you, Lord, for leaving this basic instruction for us, this basic instruction before leaving earth, this word of God that we stand on, this word of God that takes us where we need to go. Lord, we are so grateful that you gave us your son, that you gave us this word, that you are in our lives and in our midst, that you will not leave us or forsake us, that you will always be with us. Lord, I can only say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your sacrifice of a part of you for us to save us from our sinful, wicked ways. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for anything I might have done, I might have said, I might have thought. Lord, forgive me and do not hold it against me. I ask you to forgive me. I ask forgiveness before I open up to read your word, that I read it with a clean heart and a righteous spirit within me, which is what I ask, Lord God. A clean heart and a righteous spirit within me, Lord, that I may speak your word that you give me. Lord God, I pray that you remove all flesh and replace with your Holy Spirit. Speak through me, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. For, Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father, God, and I am your humble daughter. In you, Lord God, to guide me and lead me through this word, that it will hit a heart, that it will hit minds, and it will hit spirits, that those that listen will be different when they get off this show, that they will have heard a word of God to help them get through their day, that they will remember to be strong and courageous because you walk with them. You walk beside them. You have placed a hedge of protection around them, and they will know not to walk in fear, but walk in faith. But you, O God, are in charge, and you're lighting us up, our square. Wherever we go, we are in light. And those that see us see you in us. And we thank you, Father, for again this day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God of my strength, who woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Hallelujah. With my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this word today. And this is kind of a cool little book. It kind of gives an overview of every book of the Bible. And for the book of Joshua, it just says, traditionally attributed to Joshua himself, except for the final five verses, which describe Joshua's death and legacy, that it was written approximately 1375 B.C., about 1,000 and some change years before Christ. The 10 words or less to describe the book of Joshua, the Israelites captured, settled the promised land. The Israelites captured 10 words. And it says details, please. With Moses and an entire generation of disobedient Israelites died, God tells Joshua to lead the people into Canaan, their promised land. In Jericho, the first major obstacle, the prostitute Rahab helps Israelite spies and earns protection from the destruction of the city. God knocks its walls flat as Joshua's army marches outside, blowing trumpets and shouting. Joshua leads a successful military campaign to clear idol-worshiping people, Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites from the land. At one point, God answers Joshua's prayer to make the sun stand still, allowing more time to complete a battle. And that's going to be where we're reading that. I'm not sure if it's today or Monday. Joshua chapter 2, Joshua divides the land among the 12 tribes of Israel, reminding the people to stay true to the God who led them home. Now, therefore, put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Joshua 24 and 23. Quotable, which is my scripture. This is my all the time when I need a word from God scripture. This scripture is what my women's ministry that God gave my pastor and I to create at our church, but it was birthed by this scripture. And it says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. And understand, if you take this word and just put it with Hebrews 11 and 1, what does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. faith. Be strong and courageous, and be not afraid. That's faith. Our faith is telling us to be strong and courageous. Why can we be strong and courageous and not be surprised? Why? Because the Lord thy God is with thee wherever they go. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't touch and feel God. We can feel God, but we can't touch him. We can't see him. The only person that's ever seen the face of God is probably Moses, the Lord Jesus. I believe that. That's my belief. You know, and I'm sure there's a theologian out there that says it's impossible. No, it's not, because Jesus was always there. Because the word does say, no man has ever seen the face of God, but they've seen the face of our Lord. So think that through. Anyway, one man of you shall chase 1,000. This is the word that just, it gets you going. For the Lord your God, he is that fighteth for you as he has promised you. And those are our King James scriptures. Choose you this day, and this is a word that touches my heart. You know, it is like powerful. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, and then it goes on to say unique and unusual. Joshua is one of few major Bible characters who seemed to do everything right. He was a strong leader, completely committed to God, who never fell into recorded sin or disobedience. Only one mistake mars his record. Joshua experienced with the Gibeonites, one of the local groups he should have destroyed. Fearing for their lives, they appear before Joshua dressed in old clothes, carrying dry, moldy bread, claiming they had come from a faraway land. Joshua and the Israelite leaders asked not the mouth of the Lord, 9:4, and agreed to a peace treaty. When Joshua learned the truth, he honored his agreement with the Gibeonites, but made them slaves. So what? Joshua showed over and over how God blesses his people. The promised land was his gift to them, as were the military victories that he engineered. So that is just an overview of the book of Joshua. And, you know, you can't help but have a crush on Joshua. And maybe it's just because my husband was also a military man, you know, and was a statistician as well as a strategist. He, you know, he loved to create stuff and think about how if I did this, this is what's going to happen. If I do that, this is what's going to happen. And he always had a plan. And I have to say that he was pretty awesome. And I think why I love Joshua, because it's that military wife in me that can't help but love a military man. Hallelujah. But anyway, let's get started in our word this morning. Please join me in Joshua chapter 5. And it goes on to say, so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal. For this day, children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. On the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho, and they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "Nope, commander of the army of the Lord, I am now come." Oh, it's good. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "Why does my Lord say to his servant? What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Can we say a circle? When Moses stood before the burning bush, it said, "Take off your sandals, for where you stand is holy ground." And now Joshua has to take off his sandals because where he stands is holy ground. Now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, the mighty man of valor. You shall march around the city. All you men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpet. Now Joshua had commanded the people, say, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accused things, lest you become accused or accursed, accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse." So in other words, don't mess with these idols, don't mess with stuff in this accursed city. But understand, vows made, vows kept. They made a vow to Rahab that they would not kill her or her family as long as they were in her home. Now understand that God does not play. When he makes a promise, he keeps that promise. And the promise to Rahab was, you will not die. So let's keep going, because understand, Rahab had a part to play in the birth of our Savior. In the line of David, Rahab had a place in the line of David. Pretty awesome. So let's keep moving. It says, "But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them, "Be the man before the Lord who raises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Wow. Let's continue. Chapter 7. Again, a vow made, a vow kept. Now understand, there's always somebody that's got to mess stuff up for others. But we're going to get to him in just a minute. We're going to go back over chapter 6 and get some life lessons in. And again, for those that are just joining this ministry and this experience called Moving Forward, we are moving forward through the Word of God. And the word that God put in my heart to use this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And we are coming out of the New King James Version. And the reason God has given me New King James instead of King James is to make sure that the word is understood. Sometimes when you read King James and you have not read the Bible, it kind of gets you confused. You know, when you've been reading and reading it all the time, all your life, yeah, it's all right and it's great. But when you are new, every new Christian who are wanting to get into the Bible and Bible study, get a New King James Version. Keep your King James, read your King James, but get a New King James because it makes it a lot easier to understand. The scriptures seem to come alive to me anyway when I read New King James. When I read King James, I feel like I'm back in as a little child in Sunday school with thems and thous and not understanding anything that I'm reading. I'm just reading it. Whereas with King James, when I read it, I feel it, I know it, I understand it. So that's just me, and that's why God put it in my heart to read King James to you, New King James to you instead of King James. But I will, on occasion like today, read scriptures that are in King James so that it all comes back together for your understanding. And it says this in Life Lessons for Joshua. And these are all from Dr. Stanley, the Life Lessons. And it says this, when they had finished circumcising all the people, they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. While the men healed from their painful circumcisions, they remained vulnerable to attack from hostile forces, Genesis 34, 1 through 29. Yet our sovereign God protected them even then, Joshua 5 and 1. God provides exactly what we need when we need it. In fact, he assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. And we understand that they were circumcised, but God has sent the commander of the Lord's army to protect them. He was always there because God is always there. Never leaving us, never forsaking us. Commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Wow. And it says, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. The question is never, is God on our side, but rather, are we on God's side? God does not choose sides, but he invites us to choose his side. Y'all caught that? Whew. I love this word because he says to Joshua, because when Joshua said, it is saying Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Wow. Joshua chapter 6 and 5, all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. As a soldier, Joshua must have seen these instructions as very strange. Yet as a man of God, he immediately obeyed. God does not require us to understand his will, just obey it, whether it makes sense or not. We got to understand, whatever we do for God, it might not make sense to anybody but us and God, but you do what God tells you to do. If he tells you to walk around your house 7 times, then you get up and walk around your house 7 times. If he tells you to sleep in the opposite room than you normally sleep, then you sleep in the opposite room. If he tells you to fast 7 days with just water, then 7 days with just water is what you got to do. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, that's what you have to do. Because God knows what he's doing. And we just have to follow. Wherever the Father leads, that's where we go. And it goes on to tell us in Joshua chapter 6 verses 1 through 2, already won. And I called it vows made, vows kept. It was huge, and it stood in their way. As Joshua looked at the fortifications of Jericho, he realized that taking the city was no small task, especially with the seemingly impenetrable wall that stood before him. However, God promised Joshua that Israel would triumph, and Joshua believed him. Joshua 6:5 records God's command, "It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." To God, the conquest of Jericho was already accomplished. It wasn't about a trumpet sound or about the Israelites shouting any more than the parting of the Red Sea had been accomplished by Moses. This rod, Exodus 14 and 16. Rather, the marching, the yelling, all of it was about obedience. It was about whether the Israelites would submit to the one who had already delivered the city to them, and they did. Hebrews 11:3 records, by faith, can I say it? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. For generations to come, the children of Israel would ask about the onslaught of Jericho, to which their parents would respond that it was by shouts and trumpet blasts that the walls were destroyed because the power of God was with them. No battle ram technology, no modern warfare strategy was necessary, only obedience. The lesson for you remains that God has a way for you to overcome your obstacles by his power. God's command to you may not be what you expect, but is exactly what is needed. The victory is already won, and all you have to do is to claim it, submit to him, and are you willingly to obey him? Are you willing to obey God? Are you going to do it willingly or begrudgingly? Because if you be doing it begrudgingly, you might as well keep your tongue behind your teeth and don't worry about it. Because God wants us to be willingly obedient, not fake obedient, not, I got to go to church, I got to do this. I'm so tired, I don't feel like it, but I guess I'm going to go anyway. Oh, what? I got to pay tithes. Oh, come on. And I don't know why they need all this money. I don't know why I got to pay tithes. I got bills to pay. I don't know why. It ain't all that. Why we got to do all that? Because it's about obedience. When God says to give a tenth, you give a tenth. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, we do. And not begrudgingly, you do it with joy in your heart. You know, you got to be ready in and out of season. Because you never know what God's going to call you to do. Just be ready to do it and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul, I say yes, Lord. Completely yes. My soul says yes. We got to have a yes in our spirit. Joshua chapter 7 to chapter 8, verse 35. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. Now this was a vow not kept. Regarding the accursed things, Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said, do not let the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as the Sebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell onto the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of their cursed things and have brought stolen and they have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy their curse from among you. Get up, sink tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have taken away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by household, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zebedee was taken. Then he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdad, the son of Zarah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord, God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garments, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Don't play with God. Chapter 8. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai, for I have given it to your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoils and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people who are to go up against Ah. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us, as at the first, we shall flee before them. But they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stay between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city, and it was near guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at an appointed time before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it to you into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascending to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them. So they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they had all fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap, for forever a desolation to this day. Of I he hanged on the tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree and cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city and rise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool, and they have offered it on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the laws of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel with their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. I told y'all it was a great word this morning. And as we continue with life lessons, and a life lesson from Joshua chapter 7 is this. The men of Oz struck down about 36 men. 36 soldiers of Israel died in a failed attack on the little town of Oz because the people had not inquired of the Lord before they acted. Prayer is life's greatest time saver and often a lifesaver as well. Because think about it, if they had prayed before they went to Ah, they would have known that Achan had done what he did. And understand the reason nobody took any accursed things from Ah was because they saw what happened to Achan. It's like, no, I don't want that happening to me. I don't want that happening to my family. So folks got on the straight and the narrow. The word of Joshua 7:13, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. There is a time for prayer and there is a time for action. Because Joshua missed his time of prayer, God required him to take swift, decisive, and sobering action to rid the camp of sin. Joshua 7:21, I coveted them and took them. Sin begins in the heart. Achan's problem began when he broke the last commandment about coveting, the very sin the Apostle Paul noted in himself. See Romans 7:7. It takes God's spirit within us to create a new obedient heart. We got to ask for a clean heart and a righteous spirit within us. We got to understand that God has plans for our life. And he wants us to just walk in it. And as we continue in the book of Joshua this morning, and we will be going a little bit over our time because we have a lot of word to get in this morning so that we'll be caught up Sunday. And I just can't say it enough that the word of God is so true. And we got to walk in it and believe it and trust in it. For God's word will take us through and get us through. And this book of Joshua is a strategic plan on obedience. We must obey God. In Joshua chapter 9, it tells us, and it came to pass when all the kings who were on the side of the Jordan in the hills and in the lowlands and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Havites, and the Jebusites heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. They're like, if we combine our armies, we can beat them. That when God goes before us, nobody can stand against us. Nobody. That's why you have to pray. Pray without ceasing. And it says this. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provisions were dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? So they said to him, from a very far country your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Or, king of Bashan, who was an Asherah. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take your provisions with you for the journey, so and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. Excuse me. But now look at it, it's dry and moldy. And these wineskins, which we feel were new and see, they are torn. And these our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. The men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them and let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Shephariah, Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation complained against the rulers. Then all the rulers said to all the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them, a vow made. The rulers said to them, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for all the congregation as the rulers have promised them. Then Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, why have you deceived us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell near us? Now therefore you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God. So they answered Joshua and said, because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very much afraid of, for our lives because of you and what because of you and have done this thing. And now here we are in your hands. Do with us as seems good and right to do to us. So he did to them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel so that they did not kill them. And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place, shoes, even to this day. Now it came to pass, chapter 10, when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jermoth, Japhia, king of Lachish, Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jermuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together and went up, and they and all their armies encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekai and Mekedah. And it happened as they fled before Israel were on the desert descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from the heavens on them as far as Azekai, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstone than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said to the in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still. Oh, I love this word. Y'all gonna make me shout today. Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenged upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jeshar? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. The sun stood still. And it is a scientific fact that at some point in the history of this planet, the sun stood still. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp of Gilgal. And these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Mekedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave of Mekedah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear guards. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Then it happened, while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they had finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Mekedah in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jeremoth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your foot on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, But thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterwards Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on 5 trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded. And they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. On that day, Joshua took Makeda, and struck it and its kings with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it. He let none remain. He also did to the king of Makeda as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makeda and all the Israel, and all Israel with him, to Libna, and they fought against Libna. And the Lord also delivered it and its king into the hand of Israel. He struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword. He let none remain in it, but did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Wow. Then Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him to Lachish. And they encamped against it and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, who took it on the second day and struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done in Libna. Then Hiram, king of Gaza, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people until he left them none remaining. From Lachish, Joshua passed to Eglon and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it, and they took it on that day, edge of the sword. All the people who were in it, he utterly destroyed that day according to all that had been done to Lachish. So Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him to Hebron, and they fought against it, and they took it and struck it with the edge of the sword, its king, all its cities, and all the people who were in it. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but utterly destroyed it and all the people who were in it. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir, and they fought against it, and he took it and its king and all its cities, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the people who were in it. He left none remaining as he had done in Hebron. So did he in Debir and its king, and he had done it to Libna and its king. So Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country, and the south, and the lowland, and the wilderness swamps, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And Joshua conquered them from Kadesh Barnea as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. All these kings and their land Joshua took at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp of Gilgal. God not play. He does not play. When God goes before you, no man, nothing can stand against you. No one can stand against you. And when we go there, we got to understand God is in the midst of everything we do. He is with us. He is for us. And he does not take no for an answer when it comes to this is what I need you to do. We got to do it. And some life lessons from this word, which I told you guys was going to be a rich word today. It says in Joshua 9:19, we have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Israel's leaders erred in failing to ask God about the Gibeonites, but they did right in recognizing the serious and solemn act of taking an oath in God's name. God does not take lightly his reputation, and neither should we. That's a word. We should never take our reputation lightly. All you have is your good name. And you want your name to stay a good name. Because one mistake can mess up your name forever. And as we go back Joshua 10:12, sun, stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. We do not know how God accomplished this great miracle. We know only that he did it in response to believing prayer. God invites us to partner with him in the work of his kingdom. But we must never forget that we are very much the junior partners. In other words, don't try to tell God what to do. Joshua 10:25, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies. At the beginning of his military career, Joshua needed to be encouraged by his people. Joshua 1:18. Now he returns the favor and encourages them. We need each other more than we know. Joshua 10:25. We need God more than anything. When God goes before you, no man, no one can stand against you. Joshua 10:40. Joshua utterly destroyed all that breathed as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. A story like the annihilation of the Canaanites often makes us wince, but it illustrates God's implacable hatred of sin. God destroyed those nations due to sin. Sin always brings his wrath. What a word. Don't play with God. And when you make a vow, you keep that vow, because God expects us to do what we say we will do. Lord, if I will, you better. That's all I'm saying. Lord, if I will, you better. 11:1. And it says, and it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jabez, king of Madon, to the king of Sharon, and to the king of Asharp, and to the kings who were from the north of the mountains, in the plain south of Shinaroth, in the lowland, in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites, to the east, and to the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, in the mountains. I told you, this is a war book. This is a strategic war book. They go into battle. It's about war. Joshua is about war, but it also is about the fact that what God promises that he will do, he will deliver when we do what we say we're going to do. And, you know, as we just kind of, we're going to hit, not read every word of Joshua 11:12, but we're going to read the important part. Go there, and it's Joshua 11:11. And in 11:11 says, they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. Unreserved and total obedience leads to unreserved and total blessing. Joshua 11:23. So let's go over here to Joshua. And it says this, but the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people of war with them came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to the greatest Sidon, to the brooks of Mirapheth, and to the valley of Mizpah. Eastward they attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with a sword, for Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those, all their kings, Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoils of these cities and the livestock, the children of Israel took as booty for themselves. But they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing. As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowlands and the Jordan plains, the mountains of Israel, and its lowlands from Mount Elek and to the descent of Sir, even as far as Baal-Gad. In the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon, he captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, except the Havites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. But it was the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them and that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. All these kings thought they had it going on. And then this is a highlightable. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it to it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. That was Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. And it says sometimes God doesn't keep his promises when or how we thought he would. God told Moses that Israel would take possession of the promised land. And that's just what happened in God's way and in God's timing. We can't rush God. There's a blessing with your name on it, but it's going to come when it's supposed to. Not when you want it, but when it's supposed to. And this is what it says in Joshua 11:20. It was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them. Our sovereign God hardens the hearts of some so that he might execute his judgment on them. He can take even opposition and use it for his glory and our benefit. God is in charge. And as long as we know it, as long as we believe it, as long as we stand on the word of God, everything else falls into place. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is trust in the Lord with all our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging God and watch him direct our path. God loves his children. He wants us to be better. He wants us to be the best that we can be. All we need to do is believe. And when you make a vow, keep your vow. In our word today, God, through the spies, made a vow to Rahab. And they kept that vow. When Jericho fell, they took her and her family out to safety. Don't make vows you cannot keep, especially to God. And I just have a quick psalm word, and it just says this, Psalms 43:1-5, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the opposition of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, oh God, my God. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And a proverb word is this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children for the righteous. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, And for lack of justice, there is no waste. A life lesson for Psalms chapter 43, verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. One of the ways God draws us to himself is by leading us to worship him. With his people, his word consistently encourages us to gather with other believers, to hear his truth, and to praise him together. And that is what we have just done today. And I thank each and every one of you for tuning in, for going through this with me, for knowing that God is in charge of our life, and that all we have to do is trust in the Lord with all our heart, not leaning on our understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging our Father God and allowing and wanting him and needing him to direct our path. For God is in charge. All we have to do is follow. And I have a couple more Psalms and Proverbs, so that we will be in the new only on Sunday. And it says this: we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance because you favored them. That was Psalms chapter 44, verses 1 through 3. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 through 25. He who spares the rod, this is that word, highlightable, y'all. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. In other words, don't play with your children. If they misbehaving, don't spare that rod and spoil that child. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll regret it later. Spares the rod, hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. And our last psalm and proverb for this morning is this. You, Psalms 44, verses 4 through 19. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us. As we go through this word, we are talking about everything that has happened in our Joshua word. God saved them. God punished. God did what he said he would do. And it says, and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever, Salah. But you have cast us off and put us to shame, and you do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoils for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food. You have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing and are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those all around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. Wow. And this is what our Proverbs says, Proverbs 14, 1 through 2. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. But he who is perverse in his ways despises him. We got to know who we belong to. Psalms 44:7, life lesson. You have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. Regardless of the resources God gives us, we must not trust in them for success, but we must put our hope in him alone. We should ask him how to use those resources, but never count on them for deliverance. Family, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Never, ever think that stuff can take the place of God. And I have a couple more life lessons from back in our Joshua word, and this is from Joshua 12:6. Moses, the servant of the Lord, is given it as a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. It is wise to rehearse the spiritual victories God gives us. We do well to periodically remind ourselves of the truth we already know so that we do not forget and act foolishly. Wow, what a word this morning, family. What a word. And I love this Joshua 11:23 word. And it says, Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. Sometimes God doesn't keep his promises when or how we thought he would. God told Moses that Israel would take possession of the promised land. And that's just what happened in God's way. And in God's timing. And our title today was A Vow Made and A Vow Kept. God keeps his vows to us. It might not be when we want it, but it's always on time. Gracious and wonderful is our God. I thank God today for his word. I thank God for all of you listening in for this almost hour and a half. I thank you we got through all of our words, so that we will be on time and on schedule for Sunday, so that when we go forth, we'll be back in order for next week. So I thank you all. I praise God for you, crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. May his name be praised and be a praise in your lips, and may God give you a pep in your step to know that you are children of the Most High God. And he loves you. Don't ever let anybody take away your peace or your joy. But remember, vows made must be vows that you keep. Vows made, vows keep. So if you make a vow, keep that vow. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. We praise you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. And, Lord, I thank you that this word may have permeated a heart and a mind and a soul, that it touched somebody, Lord God. I thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. I rejoice in it, and I give you honor, glory, and praise. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Keeping our word, it is almost time for us to go. But I just want to say to y'all, I thank you that God has used us today to get the word out. So thank you so much. If you get opportunity, I say again, please get this Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible daily word, because it will get you through. You will get that devotion in every day that you need to get in. So thank God for it. And as we get ready to wrap it up, word from our sister in Christ, and it is good morning. When you wait on the Lord, come on now, it will be worth what he has planned for your life. Have a fantastic Friday. And again, Sister Carolyn never knows what I'm reading because I don't tell her. I don't give it to anybody. I don't do it most of the time until the next day, until the day of, because God chose me. I'm always there. And what he gives me, he always comes back with a word of confirmation from Sister Carolyn. And again, what did they have to do, Joshua and all the children of Israel? They had to wait on the Lord. And it was worth the wait because they won their battles. They got their promise. They got into their promised land. What God promises, God will keep. Just like Rahab, she knew that they were going to attack. She didn't know when, but she got her family in her house so that they were there. When it happened, all her family was with her. When you wait on the Lord, Rahab waited. It will be worth what he has planned for your life and obedience to God. Her finding salvation and knowing who God was, the God of Israel, that she accepted into her life. She saved her family. Why? Because she helped the spies of Israel. And they helped her and her family to the point where she is in the New Testament, in the lineage of our Savior. When you wait on the Lord, it will be worth what he has planned for your life. And I say, as Sister Carolyn said this morning, family, as we wrap it up, have a fantastic Friday, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Have a blessed weekend. Please join me again on Sunday as we study the book of Luke. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. It is a wrap as we move forward in our day. Stay in your square. Let the light of Jesus guide you in whatever you do. Make sure you keep God first. And know that a vow made must be a vow kept. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.